you have anybody? Do I have somebody that can tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, get up and go home?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And this is talking about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. But I want to look at verses 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Listen again to what this word says. Verse 8 of the 5th chapter of Hebrews. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. For just a little while, I want to talk about perfected through pain. Perfected through pain. It's amazing, my brothers and sisters, how Jesus Christ was obedient even though it caused him to suffer greatly. He was pained greatly to the obedience of doing the will of his heavenly Father, so that whosoever will would come into that right place and state with God the Father. There are some things that I think are so helpful for us to know. Again, I shared with you in the beginning that this speaks about the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And as we talk about in verse 8, that he was a son. And literally, it means he was the only true son of God, the one who sat with God, the one who was God. And yet he gave up all of those riches and all of that that he possessed in heaven to come down to planet Earth to do the will of his Father. Now, I want you to know something, because as we look at this text, and I, again, want us to see that as we talk about being perfected through pain, I hope it'll help us in our walk. Hope it'll help us in our struggles. I hope it'll help us on our journey in understanding when you belong to God, there are some things that you're going to have to go through to become everything He wants you to be. So many times we think that when we become saved, our problems go away, our circumstances and situations turn into all wonderful situations and happenings, and we feel as if because we're born again, have the authority of Jesus Christ, that that will not have a circumstance or situation to happen to us that is of the unsaved nature or come against us as if we were unsaved because we are born again and belong to God. May I say to you, that is nothing further from the truth than that mentality and philosophy. As a matter of fact, when you become the Lord's, the devil intensifies his issues with you. When you become saved, the devil moves you up on his hit list. When you become saved, then the devil himself wants to, more than any time in the past, destroy you. And so you got to realize that when you go through some things, it's not because you have missed the mark always. It's not because you've fallen short. It's not because you've sinned. But it is because, Job gives us an illustration of that, that you have so pleased God that God has called the attention of the enemy to you. See, when you really start going through some hard stuff, stuff you've never gone through before, you might want to look, especially when you know you've got it together and you're doing what God wants you to do. Why are these bad things? Why are these horrific things happening to me? And it very well may be because God is getting ready to take you to another level. And sometimes in going to another level, you have to descend before you ascend. In other words, sometime temporarily, ask Job about it, you got to go down before you go much higher than you were before. Listen, there is a positive aspect to suffering. We all endure suffering to some degree, but the good news is that through it, we can become like Jesus. See, that's one of the reasons why he wanted us to understand. He said that the world hates you. Know that it hated me before it hated you. Whatever he has gone through and overcome, he says, you should overcome also. So what was the purpose of Jesus going through these things? I'm glad you asked that. He went through these things as an example and as a pattern for us to follow. He wanted us to understand, if He, the Son of God, went through all that he went through without sin, never committed sin, never knew sin, never did sin, but yet he suffered as the worst sinner could ever suffer. What was the purpose of it? It was to be an example to, number one, the ones who are saved by him, who were sinners, to see that he suffered the death of the worst kind of sinner and yet knew no sin. And yet to those of us who are saved, that just because you're saved doesn't mean you won't encounter trouble. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you won't go through struggles. Just because you're saved don't mean you won't be tried. And just because you're saved don't mean you won't be tempted. But the word is clear that he was tempted in all points, like as we, but without sin. And so when we begin to look at this, the question is, are you willing to pay whatever it costs for you to become like Christ? There are some things that God can build into your life only through suffering. I want you to hear this. I said there are some things that God can build in your life only through suffering. You will never ever become all God wants you to be if you don't suffer, at least to some degree and some level, as Christ has suffered. You see, when you become a part of crisis, and you identify with Christ, and to become like Christ means that you have to identify not only with the successes of Christ, but also with the sufferings of Christ. And we like to, as believers, as people of the Holy Family of God, we like to shout the victories of Christ and the successes of Christ and talk about how we have the authority and we walk in victory and all of that. And that's wonderful and good, and that is the truth. But here's the flip side of that. You can't shout the successes until you have grown and matured in the sufferings. You see, it's all right to shout on Sunday mornings when you had a good week. But it's a whole other thing when you shout when you've been going through natural what you've been going through. Can you shout on Sunday when things are not going your way? Can you shout on Sunday when it's been the worst week you've experienced in your life? Can you shout on Sunday when your body is racking with pain? Can you shout on Sunday when enemies are within and enemies are without, and it seems like no matter which way you turn, it's a bad direction? Can you shout on Sundays when you are in a place where you don't even know where you are, and yet in the midst of that, you know God is still watching over you and keeping you? Can you shout on Sundays when you're on the bottom and the world is on top of you? See, it's when you know how to suffer that makes your shout sweeter when you're successful. See, because everybody that sees your glory don't really know your story. And I got news for you. Most of them ain't interested in it. Well, they want to know when you're rich and top, you know, on top and successful. How do I get rich? You need to tell them first, how do you fail? See, because it's not just about, listen at this, the pride in winning. It is the dignity in losing. Saying, listen, I may be knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. It may be rough right now. I may be going through a storm right now, but I'm going to hunker down and I'm going to weather this storm. When it all passes over, I'm going to be right here, because with God, I am stable, stout, and strong and can endure the worst of storms. You see, your pain comes to perfect you. Your pain, everything God allows you to experience, you may ask yourself, God, why am I going through this? I don't deserve it. And he says, you're right. That's why you're going through it. See, because if I got what I deserve, then I ain't got no reason to complain. But if I go through stuff I ought not have to go through, obviously God has a greater purpose. Try to live right. Try to treat others right. Pay my tithes, give my offerings, in prayer service, in Bible study. And yet it seems like I've got more troubles than I've ever had in my life, somebody says. Yeah, but what you don't realize is that God is allowing you, without you even knowing it, to be tested so that you can be perfected. It's all of these things that you're going through that's now preparing you for the end result. You see, what you don't understand is that God allows these things, and it's important for you to understand this, because you know, many of us become bitter over hardships. But the hardships are not designed to make you bitter, they're designed to make you better. See, what a whole lot of folk don't even understand, and they miss the bigger picture. When you've come out of the hardship the devil betted God you wouldn't come out of, you round here whining and crying, being cynical and disillusioned, and God is throwing a celebration party for you coming out the valley. And you can't even enjoy the party because you're talking about, I shouldn't have had to go through all of that. I don't know why I had to even go through that. I try to live right, and you know the story that you're going with. And yet what you don't understand is that there was a larger picture beyond the process of your pain. It was designed to perfect you. So sometimes God allows your heart to be broken so that he can strengthen it beyond breakage. Somebody missed that. I said, sometimes God allows your heart to be broken so that he can strengthen it beyond breakage. In other words, when the devil did what he did to you and he thought after breaking your heart it would destroy your life, God said, give me all the broken pieces. And God puts them back together again in such a way that he now, and I got news for you. What you don't understand is the reason your heart got broken in the first place was because it wasn't pliable, soft enough. It was too rigid and frigid. It didn't want bend. So because it didn't want bend, guess what happened? So now that your heart is a soft heart, no longer a stony heart, when the devil try to break it, it'll just bend. Y'all not hearing me here. He takes what the devil meant for evil and he turns it all around for your good. And so you don't understand that the pain that you're feeling now is a part of the process for your perfection. I wish I had a helper in the house. Listen at this, because I want you to see this. The word says again, though he were a son, yet learned. Now let me just say this to you. If Christ had to learn, and this literally means going through the experience, because he could have spoken them, but it wasn't until he went through them. He came down to do the will of his Father, and he was clear about the will of his Father. But it wasn't until doing the will of his Father that he became perfected, that he was complete, that he had matured in all of the things that had been assigned to his hand. Look at this. He learned, again, yet he learned he obedience. How did he learn the things of obedience? By the things which he suffered. See, there are some lessons that you learn in suffering. But you can't learn the lesson unless you are obedient. Did somebody hear what I said? You don't have to ask God, God, why are you allowing this to happen? When you know the word, you will recognize that if he allows it to happen, that there is a greater a triumph more than the test that you are going through. That there is a blessing that is greater than the lesson. And all the bliss is for God's glory and for your good. See, sometimes depends on how high God elevates you. He's got to prepare you for the elevation. Listen, it's true in the physical realm. It's true in the spiritual realm. It's true in every realm. There must be a preparation for elevation. Even if you take the physiological state and the physical state and you prepare yourself to go up into higher climates, I want you to understand that the air is thinner at the top. If you decided to go into a geographical higher place than where we now reside, you're going to note that your breathing changes and that your body, if it is not prepared to handle that, will give out on you. As you raise or you risen to higher levels, you will discover that the air is not the same in its intensity as it is at the bottom. What am I trying to say to you on all levels? Wherever God elevates you to, requires some preparation in order for you to enjoy the higher altitudes. See, that's why some folk can't handle success. That's why when these folk win the lotteries and get all these millions, they're broke and messed up within days or weeks or months or years. That's why some of these folk who are athletes and entertainers and all who get these major contracts overnight and get to live on a high level who were not prepared for those levels can't understand why they can't exist there because they've not been prepared to live there. You give the average person $1 million in one lump sum and the average person will run through it less than a year. First of all, they're probably going to buy a $500,000-$600,000 house because they got a million. Yeah. Then they're going to buy them $100,000 or $150,000 car because they deserve that. So they're at $650,000 or $700,000, somewhere around that area. And then they're going to get all the fine clothes and the rings and the jewelry and all the rest. Spend maybe another $100,000 on that. And then what they're going to do is they're going to, you know, be big ballers, so they're going to be shot callers. They're going to be buying this for this and that and for that and on and on and on and on. Before you know it, they blew another $200,000. 6 months ain't even passed good. And then they're going to get to the point where they start realizing when they look at their bank account. Because, you know, big ballers and shot callers don't really have to balance the checkbook. Y'all going to catch me on that maybe when you're going home. And they're going to look one day and see that they're probably around $100,000 less in their checking account, left, when they get through with all they're doing and it hasn't even been a year. Oh, may I add that they hadn't even paid their tithes yet. Now, as if they're able to make it to the year, what they don't understand is that the high cost of moving to that level means that your energy bill is higher, means that your lawn bill is higher, means that your gas bill and or your water bill and, you know, because if you got 5 or 6 bathrooms when you only had 2.5. Now you got a swimming pool that has a water leveling system that runs your water bill even in the winter when you ain't even swimming. And you wondering now, your water bill looks like your light bill used to look like. And then it comes around and where you were paying, you know, a few hundred dollars, less than $1,000 on your taxes on the house that you paid cash for. Now comes the time that you got to pay the taxes on that $500,000 or $600,000. And now you're in the thou, and you look at your money now and you realize, I better put this house up for sale because I can't keep this running for another year. Well, I'm just trying to help us understand, if we're not prepared to live with elevation, that we usually can't stay there very long. And so you've got to be prepared for that. And one of the things that I think we need to understand is that you are going to have to understand God is preparing you for something greater. Greater. Now, none of us, and I'll be honest with you, none of us really want to go through this preparatory period because it's painful. And it seems as if the clock stops ticking when we're in pain mode. It seems like the tears won't stop rolling when we're in the pain mode. It seems like loneliness stays with us everywhere we go in and everything we do when we're in pain mode. It seems like friends and family don't understand us when we're in. Seems like nothing works like it ought to work when we're in pain mode. But I got news for you. Pain mode don't last always. And the joy of knowing that your pains are temporary for your gains ought to start encouraging somebody. But you don't know, Pastor, how long I've been going through it. Well, you don't know how big what you're going to is. That's why God had to make sure you could handle it once you got there. You ought not be in a hurry to move faster than God is ready for you to move. Because if you miss lessons in pain mode, you're going to have to repeat it all over again. You know it so much and so well now, you got the t-shirt, done that, been that, done that. Well, obviously you ain't done it right. If you've got to keep repeating it, you're missing something. What is the lesson God has for you? What is he trying to teach you? What is he trying to prepare you for? Because I got news for you. That is not in the hand of man. And I thank God for that. It's in the hand of God when and where and how you'll receive your promotion. But what is left up to you is how you handle the pain mode. And God is speaking to somebody here today. And he's saying, you're almost at the end of your pain mode. And that's shouting time for some of us. But for some of you, he's saying you're getting ready to go into your pain mode. And for some of us, others of us, he's saying you're in the middle of your pain mode. Listen, you're closer to the end than you even know. But the question is, if you look back, going back to the beginning, it'll seem longer than what you have to go. Keep your focus on God and what he's allowing so that you can learn the lesson to receive the blessing. And I'm almost through here. When King Saul was made king without ever having to go through the preparatory periods to really be the kind of king God wanted him to be, his kingdom didn't last very long. But David, a shepherd boy who mined his father's sheep, David, who had to start at the ground floor to learn the business from the floor up. David, who was given a few things and was found faithful and worthy of the few things and went through all that he went through taking care of sheep. And if he could take care of his father's sheep that well, fighting off lions and bears, then certainly he was well capable enough of taking care of God's people. And God promised David that he would establish his kingdom forever because he was found faithful. He went through some stuff and he did it the way God wanted him to, and he prepared himself for it. And I've got news for you, my brothers and sisters. When God prepares you for your elevation, can't nobody stop you from getting it. When the man of God had been given the sign and the time to go and anoint the next king, and he told him it's in Jesse's house, it's one of his boys. He told Jesse, call your boys together. One of them going to be a king. Yeah. And Jesse called all his boys together, and he got all of them from the eldest to almost the youngest. And he said, listen, if I hold this horn over in the oil floors, that's the one that's going to be king. And he started with the eldest all the way down to the one who was the youngest that was brought forth. The man of God say, something's wrong, huh? I know God didn't leave me wrong. I know you are Jesse, right? Yeah, you're the Benjamin. Yes, I am. He said, well, wait, something's wrong. Perchance, do you have another son? Say, oh, I do, but that's my baby boy, and I didn't bother to bring him out because, you know, he's a little old puny thing. They call him a pretty boy, you know. He ain't strong and masculine and manly like my other big sons. Yeah, they take after me, but David takes after his mama. He's soft, and you know, he said, tell him come here, it don't hurt nothing. I mean, the others couldn't get it. I mean, David comes in from mining the sheep, and man of God raises the horn, and the oil starts to flow over the one who was least likely to be the one picked. And all I'm trying to tell somebody here is, even if man tries to pick over you, if God picks you, he will pick you up, pick you out, and put you on top in spite of man's opinion of you.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. Partner with this ministry. And tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Monroe.